Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through Paul's letter to the Romans. The church gives us a set of readings this week and the first reading at Mass. Today, it's taken from Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you haven't had a chance to tune in to the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Best thing to do to access my radio programs, Sister Ann Shields' wonderful radio programs, and really all that we're producing at Renewal Ministries, our YouTube videos, which have become quite popular, I think are helping people quite a bit, and all the resources that we have. You can download the Renewal Ministries app to your from the App Store. Just put it on your phone. And then also, if you are watching our videos and other, just subscribe to it. And we'd love to just keep getting this information out to you as often as we can in a way that hopefully is building you up. It's strengthening you at a time when we all need encouragement and we need to be strengthened. So St. Paul chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, it says, "You, O man, are without excuse, every one of you who passes judgment." Now in this section, Paul is kind of turning toward the Jews here in particular, and concerned about maybe their presumptuousness before the gospel, that they presume on their right relationship with God because they have the Torah, because they have the law, and they're superior to the Gentiles, and they're in a much better place. And Paul is trying to bring them to a place, and he will here in Romans, to help us understand that everybody stands in need of the free gift, of God's gift of justifying us, of making us a new creation. He'll say later in the letter, I'm not sure that we'll have those readings available in the days ahead. I think if I looked ahead, I think it's switching to letters from Timothy. But Paul will help the Jewish people understand that the law, which was meant for good, in the end doesn't save us. It condemns us. Doesn't that sound? But you think about, wait a minute, doesn't the Psalm say, you know, your law is like a light to my path? Yes, it does. But the law, he says, which was meant for good for us, is like a light that gets shown upon us. And the law ends up judging us, and we come under the curse of the law because we're not fulfilling the law. Because at the heart of the law is not just the ceremonial practices and the range of things that were very much present, or the moral law, but at the heart of it is the first commandment, the second commandment, the great commandments: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself. And the law, which says this is what holiness and perfection is, when we see it, when those commandments, that light is shown into our hearts, what we see is we don't fulfill the law. None of us loves God in that way perfectly. Or do we love our neighbor in that way perfectly? Jesus comes to be the firstborn of a new creation, and he actually did. He came to take on human flesh where Adam failed to stand. Jesus is the victor. Jesus gives to God what belongs to God. He loves God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he proves it on the cross in the love language of heaven, which is the language of freely surrendering one's heart in obedience to God and to God's commands. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, St. Paul tells us in Philippians. And so the law is still in itself good, but the law shows us we need something more than the written law itself. We need new creation. We need to have our sins forgiven. We need to be born again. We need to be brought alive. I can't achieve those things. I can't achieve the divine life. I can't make it come alive in me by doing works. I first have to be born again. I have to be born again in baptism. So this is where Paul's eventually going to get into these kinds of issues. But here he's concerned that Jewish people understand and not be presumptuous before the Lord and say, well, we have the commandments, we have the law, we have the prophets. There's more to it than he's trying to show them. He said, "For by the standard by which you judge another, you condemn yourself." It reminds me of what Jesus said, "The measure with which you measure against another will be measured against you." That particular word from Jesus always put a little bit of tremor in me to say, be careful how quickly you judge people. And don't judge people's motives and act like you do, or that same judgment will come upon you. The measure with which you measure out will be measured against you. It's a little bit like on the Lord's Prayer itself, that fundamental prayer of the Christian people, as you will be forgiven as you forgive others. Yeah, they're tied together. You get a sense of how God looks at these things. And he goes on to say, "But since you, the judge, do the very things that you're judging people for," Paul said. We know that the judgment of God on those who do such things is true. So the judgment falls on all those who measure out to others what they don't measure to themselves. Of course, the New Testament is full of various places where Jesus says, don't judge people. Like this, don't judge their motives. You can judge acts. So for example, if a man leaves his wife for another woman, or if a man's having an affair with another woman, he's committing adultery. That's a fact. And you know that that act itself is wrong. It's morally wrong. It's seriously wrong. Jesus isn't saying, don't judge that act as wrong. He said, just you, you're not God. Don't put full judgment on that person and understanding all that's at work there. God is the ultimate judge of human hearts in the end. But he does want us to be able to, as the apostles all did and Jesus himself did, to acknowledge the reality of sin and wrong when we see it. It's not condemning the person. It's just acknowledging the reality of the sin that that person has fallen into or stepped into. Do you suppose then, you who judge those who engage in such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you hold his priceless kindness and forbearance and patience in low esteem, unaware that the kindness of God would lead you to repentance? It's a beautiful question he's asked. It's very important. Remember, Jesus is humble. He described himself, I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. He's kind. He's the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. These are dimensions of who Jesus is. And that Spirit that was in him in fullness is given to us in baptism. And as we yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in us, these fruits, these habits, these ways of living, these ways of seeing start to emerge in us. And God's disposition toward us, as Paul describes here, is priceless. He's kind toward us. He's forbearing toward us. And he's patient. In low esteem, isn't that interesting? Jesus humbled himself. It's another way of looking at it. Jesus reveals what that looks like. He said, unaware that the kindness of God would lead you to repentance. God's forbearing with our weakness, he wants to bring us to himself, to woo us, to come to repentance, to seek forgiveness of sins so he can forgive us. He doesn't want us to stand up and be presumptuous and see the sliver in our neighbor's eye and we don't see the plank in our own. A really good disposition to be in, friends, and we can pray for each other that we can walk in this, is in that humility of Jesus, the humility before God to bow down and to say, yeah, I am a weak and broken sinner. That's who I am. I'm a man in serious need of God's mercy and kindness. And I've been forgiven much, so I want to forgive much. One of the great challenges today in the church, we see it all over the world in ministry, ministering to people and some people who are receiving unbound prayer and other things, is how trapped in unforgiveness they are, holding on and not forgiving. And it leads to a deep enslavement and a hardening of heart and a shrinking of the heart and lack of capacity to love and to be generous and merciful like our Father in heaven. But God's patience does run out, Paul's going to tell us at times. And then his patience runs out and then he gives us over, as it says in Romans chapter 1 that we talked about yesterday, to our own designs, that we then experience the consequences of our decisions in the hope that we'll get caught in the mud, so to speak, in such a way to say, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to turn back to God. By your stubbornness and impenitent heart, lack of repentance in the heart, a real desire for change, and your stubbornness, you're stubborn in your self-righteousness, is partly what he's getting at here. By your stubbornness and impenitent heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself for the day of wrath and revelation of the just judgment of God. God is just in judging sin. If we attach ourselves to sin, if we define our lives by our sinful habits and our sinful ideas, you know, the darkened mind that he was talking about in Romans 1 that comes from suppressing the truth about God, if I live in that, I create a whole reality that is fundamentally rooted in darkness, covered in darkness, and it makes me an enemy of God. And I can be stubborn to say, I'm right, I'm good, I don't need God, I don't need forgiveness, I don't need to forgive other people, I'm in the right. To live out of these kinds of attitudes, it gives a hardened heart. And Paul is saying, listen, he's talking to Jewish people here who he's really concerned about, that their potential presumption is leaving them in a place that's very unpleasing to God. He said, for the day of wrath and revelation of the just judgment of God, who will repay everyone according to his works. So a day of revelation is coming. There's an appointment in your future, in my future. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of God, and my entire life is going to be revealed, and my heart's going to be revealed. And really, in its core, it's going to be a revelation about one fundamental question. Did you love? Did I love Peter Herbeck? Did I love God first above all things? The way he defines love, not the way I define love, or the world in its crazy definitions of love. But did I love God and did I love my neighbor? It really does matter. He goes on to say, this will be God's just judgment, and he will repay everyone according to his works. Eternal life to those who seek glory, honor, and immortality through perseverance in good works, but wrath and fury to those who selfishly disobey the truth and obey wickedness. So you see, the preaching of the apostles goes the whole range, friends. They don't hold back. They go right to the heart of the matter, always proclaiming the truth because they know the truth will set us free. So Paul's not holding back. He's speaking some very hard words here, but he's speaking the truth, and that truth is life. And this is part of the good news. It's literally part of the good news that we even understand our condition is a gift and grace from God. He will repay us according to our works. To those who persevered in the good works, they'll receive eternal life and honor. God will honor us. But wrath and fury of God to those who selfishly disobey the truth and obey wickedness. This is why the church, despite what the country wants us to do, for example, on a whole set of things, like recently, political leaders who self-identify as Catholics have been doubling down on aggressively pushing maximum abortion freedoms. It's just such a horrible thing. And they're doubling down. They're presuming they're in a good position before the Lord. And these are works they're producing. It's a work that they're bringing about. They're speaking lies. They're communicating darkness. And they're leading other people into it. And the things Jesus says about leading other people into sin is really dangerous, especially the little ones, he says. And so all this stuff is going to be revealed. And the wrath of God, that is God's holiness, sin's inability to exist in the presence of God, is revealed in God's judgment. And it's so serious. So Paul wants them to come to terms with that and to be able to see it as it is. And so this also brings up the question, it may be in one of the readings in the next couple of days, where Paul is saying you'll be judged according to your works. Now here, you know, here's where there's a difference sometimes in a misunderstanding between Catholics and some Protestants and others. The Catholic Church is very clear that salvation is fundamentally a gift from God. That is, the only possible way anybody can be saved is to receive the new life, God's free gift of the new life in baptism through Jesus Christ. That's the only way, because what we need is the new life. That's the beginning of salvation for us. God's life in us, our sins forgiven, and we're united to the Lord, and our relationship with him is reestablished, and we're now given power to become children of God. That's a free gift from God. Nobody can earn that. Nobody's got a claim on that. It's God's free gift. But the church says you can't be saved by your works, but you can't be saved from apart from your works, because your works express the faith, the trust, the abandonment, the love that you have as a child of God. So it communicates a great deal. We'll maybe touch on this again tomorrow, but God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.